அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்துஹு. அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹி வகஃபா வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாமு அலா சையதினில் முஸ்தஃபா ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஅலா ஆலிஹி வஅஸ்ஹாபிஹி வபாரக வஸல்லம தஸ்லீமா கஸீரா கஸீரா. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رعى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه وإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, we were discussing Surah Wadduha, and it was my intention to complete the Surah in today's Jumu'ah talk. However, as I have mentioned on many occasions, that I don't go by a set pattern. If anything weighs heavily on my mind, or if any ayat comes just before the azan or just after the azan, so then I switch over, believing that there is some khair in the discussion of that ayat. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose word can be better than the word of that person who calls towards Allah Ta'ala? From this we deduce that there are many words in this world. Every day, if we have to just count the number of words that people speak, or the sentences, but if we have to just count the words, it will run into billions. There are different kinds of words, different kinds of speeches, different kinds of bayans, different kinds of statements that are made. It does not mean that all are haram statements or they are not permissible. There are different kinds of statements. It could be sometimes even a joke. But if it is of the permissible category and it is within limits and there is a niyat and intention also behind it of creating happiness in the heart of some person, it is not going to create any kind of offense. It is not derogatory in any way. Then even that becomes an ibadat. So there are different kinds of words. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, whose word, whose speech can be better than that person who calls towards Allah Ta'ala? Now normally, if you expect a different reply, then you will phrase it differently. But when you expect that there's going to be no different opinion to that which you are saying, then you phrase it that whose word can be better. In other words, there cannot be anybody's word better. It's just like saying, which business can be better than this business? Now what that means is that you expect that kind of response, that there is definitely no business better than that business. But if there is another opinion, then you won't phrase it in that way. So in the same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that whose word can be better than the word of that person, the speech of that person who is calling towards Allah Ta'ala. Now this is something that is extremely important. Unfortunately at present, there are more organizations than the number of people in this world. Every chairman, treasurer, secretary, every principal of some institution or some teacher of some madrasa, if he has a problem, so then it's another institution, it's another organization. There's such a duplication that millions of rands of the ummah's money is just going in administration, administration, administration. And this is the truth what I am telling you, and it hurts when so much of money is just going in administration, buildings upon buildings upon buildings. Zakat money, lillah money, fitrah money, all kinds of money, as long as that institution progresses. But most of them are not required. But now that is a different subject altogether. The point that I am emphasizing is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says the word of that person who calls towards Allah ta'ala, who is inviting towards Allah ta'ala. He does not invite towards himself. He does not invite towards his organization. He does not invite towards anything else but Allah ta'ala. That organization also, the purpose and objective must be nothing else but to assist and help people to get connected with Allah ta'ala. Then if he says that my organization does this or does that, my jamaat does this or does that, my khanqah does this or that, there is no problem with that. But that call must be towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Why? Because no jamaat in the world today who is doing deen work can claim that our jamaat does everything that is required by Sharia. No jamaat in the world. I cannot claim that, the madaris cannot claim that, the makatib cannot claim that, the khanqahs cannot claim that, the tabligh jamaat cannot claim that, that they are doing exactly like what Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had ordered. Yes, we will say it is in that pattern, but nobody can say that now my work is the complete work and there is no requirement for any other work besides this work. I am trying to clear these misunderstandings which create a lot of friction in the ummah without any justification. That if all of us understand that the Sharia of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Mubarak Deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there are different departments and there are so many requirements. When we say call towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this call towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what does it mean? It is the call towards the Quran Sharif, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in that Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will find jihad taking place. We'll find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaking sometimes about nikah, sometimes he's talking about talaq, sometimes he's talking about business, sometimes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving dawat to the disbelievers towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is discussing the rights of parents, sometimes he's discussing the rights of the wives, sometimes he's discussing the rights of the children. So many different things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes he's teaching the Quran Sharif, the correct recitation of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving the tafsir of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by means of his hadiths, is educating the ummah on various aspects of deen. So many different things about deen. Now in the ummah we do not have that kind of a person today who can do everything that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did. You will find whole groups or jamaats working in different fields, and if every one of them respects and appreciates the good work done by the other, then there will be no clash, no disunity, no friction of any kind. Now for example, now in our times, we know that when there is a need for the defense of the borders of a country, there is a need for the defense of the borders of a country, there is a fight, there is war that's going on. Now what will happen in that war? For the defense of those borders, you will require soldiers on foot. Thousands of them will be required to go and guard the borders or fight, be physically involved, be active combatants. So there will be a need for soldiers on foot. Then there will be need for air force. Without air force, the country loses the battle overnight. So you will require pilots to fly those planes. There will be a need for a very strong air force to give cover to those soldiers. There will be need for navy, because it's a world in which the technology has advanced so much that there will be submarines that will come, or there will be other kinds of equipment that will be used. So we need the navy. We need people who know how to dive and how to pilot those boats and how to go deep down the ocean and then bomb. Now all those people will be required. Then also you will require thousands of people who will be just on computers. They will not move from their places. They will be just sitting on computers. They will not move from there. They will be working out the logistics, so much of arms and ammunition to be sent there. so much of food to be sent there, so much of soldiers to be sent there, to make this movement or that movement. There will be so much of different requirements, but they will be just sitting on the computers. Now the sensible person will say that each and every one of them, he is engaged in what? He is engaged in the defense of the borders of that country. That is what he is engaged in. The person who is just sitting also is doing the same thing. And the person who is actively fighting on the border is doing the same thing. And the person who is flying the aeroplane, and he is also doing the same thing. So all of them are required for the defense of the borders. In the same way, Islam and Sharia has got borders. Shaitan and nafs comes through different angles and sides. There are different kinds of fitnas. NT26506, silver TAS. Please remove your car immediately, you are blocking somebody's driveway. So they all are working for the defense of the country's borders. So in the same way, the Sharia has got borders. Islam has got borders. For everything there is a border. And we must not go beyond that border, we must not go beyond those limits. Now how are we going to know what are the limits and what are the borders? So first of all, we require that education to know exactly to what limits a person can go. After that now, for the protection and for the safeguard of that pure, crystal clear, Mubarak and beautiful deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will require different departments. We will require the department of Hifz, Tahfizul Quran, where people will be by-hearting and memorizing the Quran Sharif. We will be requiring that, because if people don't by-heart the Quran Sharif, then there will be a great deficiency, a great defect. Then we will also require ulama. Now these ulama, where are they going to be produced? All the great, great ulama, all the great scholars whom we quote and whom we call our elders, where did they study? Or where did they get all the information? Who compiled all these books? So they had to be madaris, they had to be Darul Ulooms. Now in those Darul Ulooms, they are going to learn the Quran, they are going to learn the Sunnah, they are going to learn the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They will be Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, so that the deen is protected, so that we are quoting right, so that we are passing on the true message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will require those institutions. Then also we will require those people who are writing, because it is a world we know of where the media is dominating. So we will have to have people who will be involved in that aspect also. Then we will need lots of people who will go around and invite the people towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give them the basics of deen, inform them of their duty as a Muslim, take them out from those environments of sin and vice where they cannot get an opportunity to learn what is deen. So you go and tap at their doors and beg them and plead to them and somehow get them to come to the masjid, where again they will be given some iman yaqeen talks so that they may get inclined towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala and they may get that urge and interest in them to go and seek the knowledge of deen after that. So all these different departments, then you will get some of them who will be just stuck in a library. They are those who are on computer, that they will not move from there, because there's so many challenges that are facing us. So many different questions are arising in the medical field, in the business world, in economic field, in so many different departments. Just look at the new masail that are arising. Now we don't have those masail mentioned clearly in the books of fiqh and jurisprudence. There will be deductions that will have to be made. The person has to know the usools of fiqh. Now this person will have to be researching all the time. So he is also doing that work of deen. So each and every one of them is engaged in the defense of the borders of Islam. So if somebody has to say that all those people must leave their departments and everybody must do one kind of work, then we will say that is stupidity, that is foolishness. All of them cannot do only one kind of work. We will need people for the different kinds of works. Yes, but what we will say, that all of them must consider themselves to be the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They must consider themselves to be the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen. And they must consider themselves to be the soldiers who are trying to defend the borders of Islam and Sharia from the attacks of the enemies of Islam. So everyone considers the other one as an assistant, as a helper, as complementary, as supplementary, then there cannot be any kind of friction, division or disunity. People will be engaged in the different departments of work, and whoever is inclined to whichever work, if he does it with ikhlas, with sincerity, within the parameters of Sharia, then he will be rewarded accordingly. But we will not have in these times just one person who will be able to do everything, or just one group that can be doing everything. There will be requirement in all the other departments. Where are we going to produce those? So this is what we mean, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whose word can be better than the person who calls towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now all these different departments will be there, but the call will be only one, and that is that we want to implement the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our lives, and we want to bring it in existence in the society. Now to whatever extent the person has got a capacity, he is going to work, and he's going to move, and he's going to do some activity. However, the da'wat must be just towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There must be no comparisons that my work is better than your work is better than my work. That is what leads to all these kinds of arguments and clashes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as I said, that if you have to look at his life and you say that we are following the pattern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's function was tilawat of the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to rehearse the verses of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to teach them the Quran Sharif, that what is the message in there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to give the tafsir of that Quran Sharif, that revelation that came upon him, that it was in Arabic, but yet there were so many instances where the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what does this ayat mean? So teaching the Quran Sharif. Then there was tazkiyah of the qulub, that people who have got hearts, which are hearts of gold as we may call it. So we have to go in their company, or we have to associate with them, so that their good actions and character may rub onto our hearts. Our hearts are filled with all kinds of filth. We may be doing madaris, we may be running institutions, we may be even making imamat, and we may be even engaged in other kinds of organizations which we term as dini organizations. The person could be even giving loud speeches, but when you look at the heart, then sometimes the heart is lifeless and soulless. In spite of all those speeches and in spite of all those quotations that the person gives, but it's filled with evil, with malice, with jealousy, with envy, with greed, with hirs and with all kinds of filth. Now who is going to make tazkiyah of that heart? You think by just reading one kitab, it is, our hearts are going to get cleaned and purified? Jis qalb ki aahon ne dil phoonk diye laakho, jis qalb ki aahon ne dil phoonk diye laakho, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. So these great akabir of ours, I mean, their hearts were burning with the flame of the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that was the desire, that every person in the world must get this love of Allah ta'ala and implement the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his life. So وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. So first of all, the person calls solely towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is not interested in any name or fame or anything of that nature. If Allah ta'ala out of his will and out of his mercy and kindness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives somebody fame or somebody prosperity or whatever it may be, that is a bonus. But the person doesn't do the work solely so that he may get name and fame and izzat and respect and loans from people and all kinds of other assistance and help. His call is solely towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But then immediately after that, Allah ta'ala says, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. He himself does righteous deeds. He who is calling now towards Allah ta'ala, he is calling towards truthfulness. So then he must be the most honest person. If he is calling towards charity, he must be charitable. If he is calling towards ibadat, there must be ibadat in his life. If he is calling towards akhlaq, then there must be that akhlaq in his life. He must be able to control his anger. The test today of a person's character and akhlaq is when he is irritated and agitated, then see what happens. Where is all that akhlaq and all those speeches gone? So the person is calling towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so he's going to be calling towards all the sifats of Allah ta'ala, towards the teachings of Allah ta'ala. Now the teachings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala extend over the entire spectrum. So now the person is inviting. He's inviting towards Allah Ta'ala's deen, means he's inviting towards honesty, towards truthfulness, towards sincerity, towards generosity, towards kindness, towards large-heartedness, towards forgiveness, towards shukr, towards sabr, towards zuhd, towards taqwa, towards qanaat, satisfaction, towards tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala, towards ma'rifat and yaqeen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now this is what he's inviting towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So then, wa amila saliha. And he also is practicing on those things. Of course, we don't say overnight the person will practice. This is why we say that when we are calling towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, make the niyat that we are saying it so that our own life becomes reformed and changed. Unfortunately, today we have taken it for granted that my life is perfect. Now I want this must come, that the deen must come in the lives of the people in the entire world. But we just forget completely, we close our eyes and shut our eyes to our own businesses. How much of haram dealings are going on there? How much of interest taking and giving is going on in spite of the person being involved with Muslim organizations and Muslim societies and Muslim jamaats and groups and dawat groups for ages. But his own business, there will be nothing but taking and giving of interest. I'm not telling you stories because we deal with cases. How many of them, they'll be involved in illicit love relationships. One side the person is doing deen work, one side the person is making bayans and speeches, he's making namaz also in the first saf, and he's calling everybody else towards Allah Ta'ala. But in his private life after that, there's so much of illicit love relationships. Haram relationships. The person is sometimes caught out in those kind of actions by his wife or by others. And it brings embarrassment and shame upon the ummah after that. So this is what, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that towards which you invite, you make your level, best effort, maximum effort, that I must be also practical towards that which I am calling others. There will be weakness, there will be shortcomings, nobody will be perfect. But we must look at ourselves, that how much improvement I have made by calling now people towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We can go on speaking, but the time is expiring, so then finally Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَقَالْ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am from amongst those who have submitted themselves totally and wholly to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That means this person was the first one to submit himself after that, because he is calling towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And also another meaning that is given is this, that this person must not feel ashamed and afraid to announce that he is a Muslim. With hikmah, with diplomacy, wherever he gets the opportunity to project Islam, to invite towards Islam, to invite and call towards deen, then he must not hesitate. He must not be ashamed to practice Islam wherever he is. If it is time for salat and he's at the airport, then he must make his salat. If he's at the station, he must make his salat. If he's on the road, he must make his salat. He must not think that what will these passengers and people think of me, I'm making salat here. Yes, again there will be masail, that what are the concessions that are given. And if you are in a plane, for example, and the whole plane is full, and the plane is just taking off, and it is Maghrib time, and the aisles, they've got... nobody is allowed at that time. So they are masail to find out. Allah Ta'ala has made things easy. Now people will say, no, now it is time for namaz, so all of us must make namaz at this very moment in time. And then they create a lot of problem. So, but what I am saying is that the masla is in its place, that the person must not feel ashamed of making the namaz, but how he must make it and all their details. In the same way, when it comes to all other aspects of the person's life, he must not feel ashamed if they say that, why are you segregating? Why are you putting your women folk behind the parda? Or when you are having a program, you're having a jalsa, you're having a fair, you're having some kind of function, then why is it that you've got a screen there and you say the women must be behind the screen? There must be no intermingling and association. What will the non-Muslims think of us? And at that time we say, why? Because innani minal muslimin. I'm a Muslim, I believe in what the Quran says. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif how we must behave. So this what we are doing is according to Islamic law of Sharia. If you like our way, then you participate, and if you don't like our way, then you go to your function. So we must not be afraid to project our Islam, but we are so afraid and so scared that what will the person say? In fact, if we are going to practice Islam, Allah Ta'ala has got so much of noor in every teaching of Islam that people will be attracted towards our deen with hardly much speeches. So, innani minal muslimin. So therefore, my respected brothers, I don't know what made me take this ayat, but in any case, there is great wisdom behind whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides for us. So there are different works of deen that are taking place. There will be an ijtima also that is taking place. All these are good works. A person must participate solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and his niyat must be to bring about total reformation and change within himself, and also, by the way, call others also towards this Mubarak deen. and appreciate all the other works of deen that are taking place. Don't look at any work of deen as insignificant. They are all doing the same thing, and that is to protect the borders of Islam, to protect the borders of Sharia. We require all the different jamaats to be engaged in different activities for this protection. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. Wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillah.